I thank you for that beautiful music. Help set the tone of the Spirit and invite the Spirit here with us this morning on this special day where we're having quite a full service ahead of us with two baby blessings and the spoken word. And I welcome you all here in the name of Jesus Christ, friends, family, and guests. And to open the service, I'd like to read from Mark 10, verses 12 through 14. But when Jesus saw and heard them, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and then put his hands upon them and bless them. Let us join in the singing of hymn number 476. Hymn number 476.
Our dear Heavenly Father, come to you at this time asking that you would be with us, thanking you for our families, for these little ones that are so new to this life. We remember how it was and is that they are so close to their mothers and fathers. We ask that you would be with us and be close to us again today. We thank you for all things in spite of us for using us. In Jesus' name, amen. For offertory today, I'd like to present from the book of Ether, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And thus they were driven forth 344 days upon the water, and they did land upon the shore of the promised land. And when they had set their feet upon the shores of the promised land, they bowed themselves down upon the face of the land, and did humble themselves before the Lord, and did shed tears of joy before the Lord, because of the multitude of the tender mercies over them. In our home, we're pretty diligent about saying a prayer over every meal, at least that we have together, and every meal we give thanks, and we give thanks every night before we turn in. And the offertory I look at is one more opportunity for us to give thanks to God for His tender mercies. You bow with me, please. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we give You thanks today for all of our blessings that come from You and for our service here today. We give thanks for our speaker and for the things that we can do with the offering that's brought forth, that it will be used to the building of Your kingdom. We pray that You'll forgive our sins and that that the blessings from You will abound. In Jesus' name, amen.
Always like these kind of services, baptismal services, ordination services, and blessings. The reason why is it always brings out family and friends that don't normally attend. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to have the guests that are with us to worship and be a part of the service. I started off with the scripture of Jesus blessing the little children. And just wanted to emphasize that this is a blessing, and it's not a baptism, and most of us understand that, but and how important it was to Christ to have little children blessed. If we also look at Matthew 19:13-15, he said, "And then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, saying, 'There is no need, for Jesus hath said, such shall be saved.'" And so here the disciples understood that these little ones would be saved. They understood and had that the knowledge that, of this, but what they didn't understand was how important these little ones were to Christ. And because they were pushing them aside, so to speak. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and then departed. And in section, before I go on to section 17, so we see here that this blessing that you are going to see this morning is essentially a blessing that will stick with these young ones throughout their lives. And I've heard of even those who were blessed in the church finding the church later on, many years later in life, and this blessing can be a guidance. It's a dedication, basically dedicating these children unto Christ, and so There's a lot to this. Sometimes I think we can look beyond the great blessing that they receive. In section 17, verse 19 in the Doctrine and Covenants says, every member of the church having children is to bring them unto the elders before the church, who are to lay their hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ and to bless them in His name. And that's what we're going to see here this morning. We're going to see the two infants brought up and given to the elders, and they are going to lay their hands upon these little ones, just as Christ did, to bestow a blessing. And I think part of the reason that Christ was so insistent upon blessing the little children is because He said they are such as the kingdom. In Mosiah we read that unless we become like these little children, we're not fit or acceptable in Christ's kingdom. He says, referring to those when they come to understanding the belief and the Spirit rests upon them, he says, but if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child. Now here he lists some descriptors on children and the qualities and characteristics that children have. He says, becoming meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit unto his father. And I really like that he lists those descriptive words of that children are and what they are and why it is so important, why the Lord wants to bless them, and he's actually bound to bless them. We have a section in the Doctrine and Covenants 81:3b, where it says, I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, you have no promise. And so these little ones have great promise because we're told in the Scriptures that they're incapable of committing sin. They're pure and innocent before God. And so God, it's His full desire to bless these little ones when they're brought before Him. And as I read here in section 81:3b, they're not even contrary to His will. And so blessing them is just part of the natural consequence of the law of God, and that He's bound to do so. In Moroni, chapter 8, 9 through 13, we have these words. He says, wherefore little children are whole, for they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore the curse of Adam is taken from them in me, that it hath no power over them, and the law of circumcision is done away in me. And after this manner did the Holy Ghost manifest the word of God unto me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that it is solemn mockery before God that we should baptize little children. And then in 11 he says, and behold, I say unto you that this thing ye shall teach repentance and baptism unto those who are accountable and capable of committing sin. Yea, teach parents that they must repent and be baptized, and humble themselves as their little children. And they shall be saved with their little children, and their little children need no repentance, neither baptism. And he says, behold, baptism is under repentance to the fulfilling of the commandments for the remission of sins. But little children are alive in Christ. I love how he describes here how little children are alive in Christ. And that we too, if we, as he describes here, as we exercise our faith and repent and come unto Him, that we too become like our little children and we become alive in Christ. And then out of 3 Nephi, we have this wonderful experience where the Lord is visiting the people in America, and this one part of there where they bring the little children unto Him to be blessed. It's a terrific experience recorded in the Book of Mormon, but it says, and when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them. He took them each one by one. I think it's interesting that it points that out, that not one was left out. Not every one of them was blessed, and he did it one by one. And he prayed unto the Father for them, and he had done this. And when he had done this, he wept again, and he spake unto the multitude and saith unto them, behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels descending out of heaven as it were in the midst of fire, And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire, and angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all did see and hear, every man for himself. Now today that we will see and witness these little ones blessed before us. And it is partly our responsibility as members in the branch as these little ones grow up to help nurture and lead them in the right paths. And that's part of our witness in what we see here today. And so as we move forward at this time, we'll have a hymn of hymn number 250. We'll remain seated for that hymn, and then we'll have Finley Richmond brought up by his mother and to be blessed by Elder Tony Brown and Elder Ed Turner. Christina, you would bring the little one, Finley, forth. Finley Richmond will be blessed by Elders Tony Brown and Elders Ed Turner.
Heavenly Father, it is with great joy that my brother and I place our hands upon Finley Richmond to ask for this blessing upon him. And we do this in the name of thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is certainly a good thing that Luke and Christina has brought this little one before the elders of the church. And Father, we recognize your love for these little ones that are so precious. And Father, we certainly this is dedicating this child to you. In so doing, we know Luke and Christina recognize their responsibility to jointly care for this child and provide for its protection and physical and mental and spiritual welfare and nourishment. But Lord, we know as parents there's only so much we can do. And thus they have presented her or him to you this day for this blessing. Heavenly Father, we pray that your guardian angels might surround Finley and protect him physically, not only in his youth, but in adulthood, that he might one day be able to function in that capacity to always to be about your work. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might bless him spiritually. We know the adversary is alive. Would like to discourage him many days in his life. We pray that you might comfort him, teach him, and guide him, that he might always rely upon thee. Lord, we are so appreciative of this ordinance in the church, and we know it is a symbol of the dedication, the love, and concern you have for these little ones. Heavenly Father, we know you are mindful of this tender scene. And Father, we ask that you might always hold Finley in the palm of thy hand. And this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd ask that Hope would bring Soraya Carnahan forward, and she will be blessed by Elders John Baker and myself, Tom Carnahan.
Father in heaven, we're very glad this day that her parents have brought this little one, Soraya Faith Carnahan, to you, to be presented to you, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that as her life goes on, that she will always come to you in those things that she needs to, that she will always seek those things that she needs to seek from you, and that her parents will teach her those things to help her to learn of you and the love that you have throughout her life, and that you will always be there for her. And I pray, Lord, also that you will be with her grandparents, my wife and I, that we might be able to also help to guide her in the direction that she needs to go. And Lord, even her brothers and sisters and her cousins, that she might learn to understand that kind of love that you have and the passion that she will have for you in her life to come. And that she will choose to serve you, dear Lord, in the days to come. And when she comes to those crossroads that can tell her the right from wrong, that she will always pick the right one. And if she's not sure, she will always come to her parents or someone that she can count on to help guide and direct her in the direction she needs to go as always. For Lord, we know that you'll always be there for these little ones. That your love for them is just outstanding. That your care for them is something that no one can ever understand. So, Lord, I ask at this time that you look upon this little one, dear Lord, and that you bless her and that you will help her to go the ways that she should go, the ways in life that you would have her go, to succeed in those things that you would have her succeed in, for the strength and guidance to come back to you, dear Lord. So I do, dear Lord, pray a special blessing upon this little one this morning. These things I pray in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.
Thank you, brother and sister.
The Lord has blessed both of you with an incredible talent. And by definition, that's magnifying your calling. And certainly, that must be what it sounds like in heaven. I'd like to begin by reading from the third book of Nephi, chapter 4, verse 51. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and come unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. We have witnessed something quite special this morning, this ordinance of blessing of little children. And these little ones are so precious to our Creator. And oftentimes, when I witness a baby blessing, my mind is drawn to a past events my wife and I had to endure. You see, there was a time in our life that Amy and I wondered if we would ever have children because of some failed pregnancies. And I remember, I believe it was 2004, as we as a congregation gathered in Nauvoo. And I remember at a prayer service, the day we were going to leave on Sunday, standing up and asking the congregation to pray for us. And shortly after that, Brother Gordon Seavey approached Amy and I about having a special prayer service where both of us would be administered to. You see, Brother Gordon was mindful of this situation in our lives because he was familiar with it. And I remember that night, as two chairs was placed up out here in front of the pulpit, and each one here in this very room united in their faith. And as those elders placed their hands upon our heads, we were blessed. That next pregnancy we received our oldest daughter, Lola. And you see, it pains me to see a world that discards these little ones, these lives. For they are so precious. Oftentimes when we witness a baby blessing, my thoughts go to that scene as those little ones were brought to Jesus. But I also think of another situation in the Scriptures. You know, there was this woman that had a blood illness or disease. And as the crowds gathered around Jesus Christ, she had the faith, if she could just get close enough to touch the hem of His garment, that maybe she could be healed. You see, she had seen a lot of the miracles that this Jesus Christ had performed. The lame to walk, the blind to see, to cast out demons. And as she got close enough to the Savior, she touched the hem of His garment. As all these people were crowded around Him, and Jesus recognized this, because it says He felt virtue leave Him. And He turned around to her and said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And so as I think about that instance, I think about these parents, these mothers and these fathers, as they gathered around Jesus, this Jesus of miracles, that they wanted a blessing for their children, these healthy children. And the disciples felt there's no need for the Savior to touch these children. They're healthy. But Jesus rebuked them and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me." You see, brothers and sisters, the ministry of Jesus Christ does not exclude anyone, not even these little ones. I know, being blessed as a young little child, that blessing has sustained me through life. I know my life has been preserved many times. And I'm thankful for that blessing. And Tom and Hope and Christina and Luke have brought their little ones here this day that they too might receive that blessing for their little one. And aren't we all God's children? Just as these parents have brought these little ones here because they want what's best for them, we are also God's children, each one of us. And He wants the very best for us because He loves us. And He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son . Do you really understand how hard that must have been? But He did so because He has a great love for you. And He watched His only begotten Son suffer, hit, spit upon, persecuted. that each one of us might have that opportunity to come back into His presence one day. What a beautiful plan of salvation that is, through faith and repentance and baptism of water and by fire. Last Sunday, we witnessed this baptism of water and fire by little Eve. And I was sitting back in the back, and my little nephew Hudson was behind me, Hudson Hakes. And as Eve came out of the water, he said these words to Matt, "Daddy, that is very real water." And Matt replied, "Yes, Hudson, that's very real water." But those words of that little one have stuck with me all week long. That, brothers and sisters, that is very real water. Entering those waters leads us to those living waters. I remember when I was baptized in 1985, it was in the evening. And I remember as we gathered there, and before I was baptized, I remember the lights, and everything seemed somewhat dim. And as I went down into the waters and I rose up out of those waters, as an 8-year-old, I remembered everything being so much brighter. You see, brothers and sisters, at the age of 8, I knew that the old Tony had been buried, and that I had received a remission of my sins. And a new Tony had risen out of those waters, just like each of you. And I continue to receive a remission of my sins as I approach my Heavenly Father in repentance. That true repentance that changes our motives, our thoughts, our actions, and our lives, and that eradicates the very essence of sin in our lives, which is selfishness. As I was pondering these living waters, I was reminded of Lehi's vision. In the first chapter of Nephi, or first book of Nephi, chapter 3, in the 68th verse, "And it came to pass, I beheld that there was a rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God." And I took a few moments yesterday to read through that vision, that dream that Lehi had. And there's some things that stuck out to me that I not necessarily had seen before. And we know the story. or the dream, the vision. And Lehi had partaken of that fruit of that tree. And it made him happy. It had him great joy. And he was desirous that his family might come and partake of that fruit, that living water. And some did, and some didn't. He also observed multitudes of people. And there's four groups of people that he observed. The first group was a group of people that never set foot on that path. That they wandered and found themselves in that large and spacious building. A second group of people started on that path. And they found themselves in the midst of darkness. And because of this mist of darkness, they found themselves lost. And as Lehi describes this group of people, there is no mention of the rod of iron. You see, this group of people never grabbed on to that rod of iron. There was a third group of people. They started down this path, encountered that mist of darkness, those trials, adversities in their lives. And it says they were clinging to that rod of iron. And they made it through that mist of darkness and those trials and adversities in their lives and found themselves at that tree and actually partook of that fruit, but then became ashamed by the scoffing of those in that large and spacious building. And then there was a fourth group of people that started on this path, encountered that mist of darkness, and it said they were holding fast to that rod of iron. And they found themselves at that tree of life, those living waters, and partook of that fruit and found it wonderful and delightful. What group do you want to be in? Or maybe a better question is, what group are you currently in? For most of us here, I would venture to say we are in group three. You see, that word clinging to the rod of iron is an interesting word. It means to adhere, to remain close. But I picture it as you're just barely holding on. It's those occasional times of study we have, or those bursts of studies. Are we clingers? Or are we holding fast? Are we a people that are bearing down and staying the course that we might partake of that holy fruit? And I've shared this with you many times, but I want to share it again, because it was such a pivotal point in my life. I found myself, early parts of my junior year of college, with a group of friends at a neighboring college, indulging in some of those things that were not pleasing to my Heavenly Father. those things that I was not taught. And I remember coming back home that Sunday afternoon to Warrensburg. My Heavenly Father saw it fit to speak to me. And it wasn't an audible voice, brothers and sisters. But it was in such a simple way that I could understand. And this is what it said. Tony, today. Today is the day you choose the direction for the rest of your life. What a humbling experience. And knowing that day that the decision I made was going to impact the rest of my life. You see, as I entered those waters of baptism, I found myself on that path. And I believe I was holding fast for a while. And then as time went on, I entered into high school as more of a clinging on. And then as time went, as I entered into college, I found myself not holding on to that rod of iron and drifting away to the point that I found myself being a part of the world, that large and spacious building. But brothers and sisters, I submit to you today that it's not too late. No matter what your situation is in life, your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants us to humble ourselves before Him. And come before Him in sincere repentance. And He will welcome you back. Isn't that wonderful? I so much appreciate this image behind me. We don't worship this image. But it's there to remind us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He is the Good Shepherd. And that He is willing to leave the 99 to come find that one lost sheep, that one lost child. Most of us have been there at one point in our life. What a marvelous thing. What a wonderful plan of salvation. What a wonderful gospel. Brothers and sisters, He lends us breath from day to day. We are always indebted to Him. Let's make sure that we are always holding fast to that rod of iron. And I would like to leave in closing for this scripture for you to consider. It's a revelation given in 1831. And listen carefully to this wonderful counsel and comfort. 61, starting in verse 6 G or C. And now verily I say unto you, and what I say unto one, I say unto all, be of good cheer, little children, for I am in your midst, and I have not forsaken you. And inasmuch as you humble yourselves before me, the blessings of the kingdom are yours. Gird up your loins, be watchful, and be sober, looking forth for the coming of the Son of Man. For he cometh in an hour you think not. Pray always that you enter not into temptation, that you may abide the day of his coming, whether in life or in death. Even so, amen.
Brothers and sisters, we've been challenged this morning, and we've witnessed the ordinances of the blessings of two children. Let us close with a sing of hymn number 397. Hymn number 397.
Our dear God in heaven, Lord, I come to you now, thanking you for this day that you have blessed us with to come together as a family, to join, to witness the blessings of these children, that they would never be forgotten. And I would pray that also us, likewise, as little children, would never forget you too, that we would know that you are all in all. And Lord, I would thank you for the hearts that have prepared today to join, to be with you, for we have all filled thy spirit. And I would pray that that feeling that we feel, that we would take it from this house and take it with us, that we would be able to share it with our families and our friends and the world that needs to hear your voice. And I would pray as we depart from this house, Lord, that you would always be with us, that we would never be shy to ask for your loving support, that we would always need your help. And as we go across the hall, Lord, I would pray that you would bless this food, that those that have prepared it, that they would be blessed and thankful for all that we are able to share, and pray that we would be able to fellowship a little bit more, to hear thy blessings that you have poured upon your people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.